possibility.
Hello and welcome to Shattering Myths. I am Yada. Each weekday morning here on GCN, we strive to expose the destructive myths which are associated with religion and politics, with patriotism in the media, and with military and economic schemes. And today our plate is over full. Instead of merely presenting the news, our mission will be to help you understand what is occurring, all while predicting how these events will shape our world over the next 10 to 20 years, and it is becoming ever more obvious. Then during our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms by way of His one and only covenant and through His always dependable Torah teaching, so that with His guidance, you'll be able to replace your religion with reason and engage in a relationship with Him. We will once again return to our coverage of the creation account. Our phone number for those who would like to join this discussion, you're welcome to question, criticize, or affirm anything that is said over the next 2 hours. That number is 877-300-7645. I'd like to begin with Rupert this morning. Rupert, for those who may have missed it in the news, had a jolly old British voice and was just speaking about how wonderful it was that the Japanese had decided that they were going to pour $1.4 trillion into their economy. Now, let me just give you an example here. Suppose I lived in Larryland, and in Larryland, the whole economic scope of Larryland had $10. And I had the most beautiful home in Larryland, and it was valued at one-tenth of that, so it was valued at $1, while all of Larryland had $10. Now, if Larry were to decide that he wants to have a lot more money and just simply added a zero to all of the dollar bills in Larryland, and now there were, rather than $10 in Larryland, there was $100, what would the value of that one home in Larryland be? It would go from one. Worth the same, worth the same, but valued in Larryland currency, it would now be $10. Did the value of the home change? No. What happened? The value of the money decreased.
Mm-hmm.
That is the nature of inflation. Inflation is the primary means that governments use to rob their citizens of their savings.
And of their labor.
Correct. There is no worse tax, no more pervasive tax, no more cruel and unjust tax than inflation. Inflation is caused all for one single reason, what Japan just did. Now, old Rupert here, talking on the for the BBC, was just all giddy about how wonderful this was going to be because the Japanese government was going to play in the stock market and was going to buy shares of companies, and that would drive the shares of those companies up, and those companies would be more valuable. Are the companies more valuable, or is their value identical, and the only issue is now that their value is being monitored in a currency who has lost its value?
The latter of the two.
Absolutely. What is Japan trying to do? To confiscate its citizens' wealth. There has become this notion that is pervasive around the world. In fact, I have now four or five stories this morning, all on the same thing, because all five or six of them hit the news wires at the same time. Catastrophic for this world. The theme in all of them is that politicians and bankers who have no business sense, none of them have ever made payroll, started a business, sweated how you're going to pay the bills. You know, all of the angst that goes into starting and building a business, not one of them has ever experienced. What they do is manipulate money and manipulate people. The politicians manipulate people and control them, and the bankers manipulate money and control that. Now, I'm not talking about your average banker that works down at your local branch. We're talking about central bankers here. The ECB, the European Central Bank, the Federal Reserve of the United States, the Central Bank of Japan. They manipulate, they play with money, just as politicians manipulate and play with people. And collectively, the whole world is being played. For Japan to say that we're going to solve the fact that the Japanese economy is in the doldrums by us inflating our money supply by $1.4 trillion. And we're going to play in a stock market with it, and we're going to make unbelievably cheap money available to people so they're encouraged to borrow money. Now, think of this scenario. What we have here is what happened throughout the late 1920s in America. The Federal Reserve was about a decade or so old. And they came up with a plan that would concentrate wealth in this country. And the plan was, we're going to make money really cheap. We're going to make borrowing extraordinarily easy, that average people will be able to borrow large sums of money, and that money will be very inexpensive. And when they do that, they'll invest in the stock market. The stock prices of the stocks will go up. They'll borrow more money. Everybody will be playing this game. And then when it comes to a crashing halt, you won't be able to give away those shares of stock. But yet all those loans will have to be paid back. And then what happened? 1929. What Japan is doing now is exactly what happened in the United States, except they're being more egregious about it. They're saying, hey, $1.4 trillion, and we're going to buy stocks with it. And we're going to make money available to everyone and going to make it cheap. Who in their right mind in Japan now wouldn't say, well, I can become a gazillionaire by borrowing money cheaply and riding the prices up of the Japanese stock market? Are you making money? Or are you just playing along in a game that's going to end up destroying Japan?
A little bit of both. You might be making money, as in creating it out of thin air, but you've not created any, you've not increased any productivity. You've not done anything substantial. You've just made Monopoly money. That's all you
do. Right. You know, if you played a game of Monopoly and you've got the standard money there, and you decide, you know what I want to do is I just want to add a zero to every one of the bills. So the one is a 10, the 10 is 100, the 100 is 1,000.
Nothing in the game. It just makes it look like everybody's got a big number when that big number
correct.
Doesn't mean anything at all.
That is correct.
Sure.
You know, the reality is that an ounce of gold today will buy exactly the same shoes and suit that would have been comparable to the sandals and toga that the same ounce of gold would buy in Rome 2,000 years ago. The value of things doesn't change, but the lack of value inherent in our money does. In America, 98% of the value of our currency has been destroyed since the conception of the Federal Reserve.
Now we're down to 2 cents now. I understand that. Matter of fact, it might be worse than that now. Who knows?
Yeah. So here's the story. I'll read some of this from Reuters. The Bank of Japan unleashed the world's most intense burst of monetary stimulus on Thursday, promising to inject $1.4 trillion into the economy in less than 2 years. A radical gamble that sent the yen reeling, losing value against other currencies is what that means, and bond yields to record lows. So what that means, when you do that, all the people that have been willing to buy your bonds, I mean, for the United States, if China and Saudi Arabia decided they didn't want to buy our treasury bills tomorrow, we would be bankrupt. We couldn't service our debt. The country would be over. We would be like Cyprus, which is now a country run by the International Monetary Fund. We would lose our sovereignty. And what they're doing here is by injecting this kind of money, they're telling all those people who bought their bonds in the past, screw you. Because by doing this, those bonds now are worth a lot less than their face value. The other interesting thing here is the United States decided about 10 to 12 years ago that the Federal Reserve would no longer report M3. What Japan is announcing here is a change to what the America used to call M3. You see, the changes in the money supply, the aggregate change in the money supply, has the single greatest effect on the value of your currency, on future inflation, and the erosion of your savings. And the Federal Reserve, about 12 years ago, said, nah, we're not going to report M3 anymore. We're not going to even tell you what we're doing. In Japan, at least they told the people what they're doing. The new governor, Kuroda, committed the BOJ to open-ended asset buying and said the monetary base would nearly double to 270 trillion yen by the end of 2014. The monetary base of Japan, such, you know, $1.4 trillion is a lot of money. Even for the United States, that's our annual debt, our annual deficit. You know, our annual debt is more than 10 times that. But in a country the size of Japan, what that represents, they're saying, is they're going to double their monetary base.
That means the money's worth half as much.
That is correct. By the end of 2014, in a shock therapy to end two decades of stagnation. What nations have tried, and none successfully, is to spend their way out of economic malaise. And what they do is they have to confiscate more money from individuals and from businesses to do that. They have to compete in the borrowing markets with their bonds to be able to do that and take capital away from business. And then they end up, because they create such a mess, regulating business so that business can't even respond appropriately. And when government thinks that it is the solution, as opposed to business being the solution as it relates to the economy, it always turns out badly. And this particular mindset is really quite new. It's only about 40 or 50 years old. That's how long the world has been playing with unabashed fiat money, money which is actually a liability. And so there is no chance whatsoever over the next 10 years that this is going to turn out well for Japan. Now, will it likely have an illusion of success in the short term? Absolutely, because the price of everything is going to go up. And they're going to say, wow, look at this. Our economy is expanding. Well, you're not measuring it in the same manner that it was being measured before. The next line of this story says the U.S. Federal Reserve may buy more debt under its quantitative easing, so more than the $1.4 trillion. But with the Japanese economy about one-third the size of the United States, the scope of Kuroda's quantitative and qualitative monetary easing is unmatched in world history. This is an unprecedented degree of monetary easing. Don't you just love their terms? In the United States, we call it QE2, QE3.
Quantitative easing.
What we're doing is we're easing money out of everyone's pocket by devaluing your savings. Easing the money out of your pocket so you won't even know we're doing it. That's what quantitative easing, ladies and gentlemen, is all about. We're here with Larry, you know, yesterday I didn't say something that I should have said. I was thinking about saying it at the beginning of the second hour, which is yesterday was your kind of day, as we were talking about the manipulation that was going on between the International Monetary Fund, which is now the sovereign dictator of Cyprus, and how the International Monetary Fund actually caused the bank to fail by devaluing its Greek bond holdings by forcing the bank to write off about half of its assets. And then once it killed the bank, it saw fit to provide a little bit of currency that would be filtered through the Cyprus government so that the private business would be nationalized. Now they own the bank, and then they decide to confiscate its shareholders, not its shareholders, its depositors' equity. They actually orchestrated the whole thing from start to finish. They orchestrated the whole thing from start to finish. And I was thinking, all right, Larry is saying, yeah, and you're not a conspiracy theorist? Come on.
Yeah, well, you know, there it is, isn't it? You know, and
yeah, there it is.
Villains that run the IMF, run the WB, and they run the central banking system.
Of course. Yeah, it's the same group of cronies. That's, you know, I'm not opposed to, I have no animosity towards, we're not trying to expose and condemn folks that work for private banks. You know, when you use the term banker in this sense, what you're dealing with is the
Bankster. You're dealing with a bankster.
You're dealing with the equivalent of a politician, which but you're not dealing with a local politician and the local school board. You're dealing with the head of state politicians, and these bankers play with money. I mean, they manipulate money. Money is the game to them, and that's what's happening in Japan. One of the comments here says, one of those steps was to abandon interest rates as a target and become the only major central bank to primarily target the size of the monetary base, the amount of cash it pumps into the economy. It added a similar policy. It tried a similar policy in 2001, but not to this scale. The article concludes with, it could lead the central bank heavily exposed to government debt. So in other words, for the central bank to do this, the money doesn't come out of thin air. You see, fiat money isn't just printed. Most people just think, you know, fiat money is just created. No harm, no foul. No. When the central bank creates money, it becomes a liability to the government who puts that liability on its taxpayers.
Yeah, and what they don't print is the interest that's due.
Correct. So that's correct. So the central bank collects the interest on money that they didn't even have. They just conceived it out of thin air, and then they put it as a liability on the government. So this kind of thing is just disastrous, and it is manipulation of the world as a whole that is we're witnessing right through here.
And there's a theft that goes on too. I mean, there's just outrageousness. One of the things I posted today on my FB page is, you know, welcome to Bananaville. This is just a drop of a tenth of a drop in an ocean of theft. But you know, during that stimulus program, $423,500 was given to the University of Indiana for what? Correct condom usage study.
Oh, great.
And this is why, you know, we get up and we go to work and we bite our nails and we try to meet our payrolls every day. So we can see nonsense like this.
Well, in the case of Japan, if a person had $100 in savings, that $100, the value of that $100 in savings is now $50. They've stolen half of your money because that $100 in savings will only buy half as much. So anyway, it says that this could leave the bank heavily exposed to government debt and potentially huge losses if it failed to stoke the inflation. If it failed to stoke inflation and investors lost faith, in other words, what they're actually hoping for, that this stokes inflation and investors lost faith in its efforts to revive the economy. And it could trigger a currency war as other Asian exporters seek to remain competitive with the weaker yen. In other words, it's going to destroy the value of the yen. If you want your economy to prosper, deregulate and lower taxation on business. Remove the constraints that government has on business and diminish its taxation on business, and your economy will grow. Do the opposite of these things.
You're going to implode the economy, which is, I think, is what's being engineered, and I think it's purposeful. In the same way that they did Greece, they'll do the same thing in every country they can.
Now, let's speak of Europe. Germany's economy slowed to stagnation last month, while France's economy recorded its single biggest contraction in 4 years, according to a closely watched survey. What did France do? Imposed a 70% tax rate on the most successful wage earners. And what did Germany do? It created funny money that it used to bail out countries that were failing, like Greece. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yada. We have Larry on the phone here. And, of course, I've had to eat crow the last few days with Larry because Larry is one who says that the orchestration of the financial demise of the world is clear to see. And I have preferred just to tell you what the news is and not draw all the connections to orchestration, but the last few days
it
has been
clear. I mean,
we do get to the same place, but the fact is right now it is obvious that the international bankers are manipulating the not only currency of the world, but people's assets, their savings, and individuals themselves. I mean, you've got the IMF now in control of Cyprus with their trial balloon, where they were able to steal 60% of the savings of people.
You said they would do. You said something in one of your writings. You wrote that it's like the kings of old. You know, enough is never enough.
Correct. It's never enough.
These people are making the pie smaller, but they're getting a bigger piece of the pie.
But the international bankers are. Once you have more money than you can possibly spend, the only thing that is left is power and control.
Yeah.
And so the IMF moved in Cyprus, for example, and they're in the same position in Greece. They moved from wealth to control. Greece and Cyprus are no longer sovereign nations.
And isn't that
everything that those countries do is being orchestrated by the IMF?
Well, I think they're not too many steps behind getting us here in the U.S.
No, we're within 10 to 15 years of the same scenario.
I think even less. I hope I'm wrong, but you know they're about to do this new internet tax next week. Now that's going to hurt my business along with many other businesses.
Yeah.
You've got a situation. I think they're getting brazen. You know, out in California yesterday, and I this is kind of off topic, but it's in topic. When they have you under control or feel like they're in control, they can get away with almost anything.
Right.
They passed a law, and it had to do with mental health counseling, that you can no longer try to change somebody's sexual preference. And now they have pedophilia listed as a sexual preference. When the Republicans over there tried to at least put an amendment on...
Well, there's five of them.
Five
of them in the state, and I think one was just left yesterday.
Yeah, well, you know, when they tried to say, you know, you got to have an amendment at least for pedophilia, the Democrats got up and blocked it. So what they're doing is openly stating that pedophilia, at least in the state of California, is
a sexual preference.
Another sexual preference. Yeah. Another lifestyle.
And by the way, that should not be a surprise because America now has a national religion. Personally opt out of it because I'm not a patriot
and I don't buy it.
Yeah. Yeah. Socialist secular humanism is America's national religion. It's the religion of politics. It's the religion of the media. It's the religion of academia. And so in socialist secular humanism, what you find is that its base moral code is under the auspices of political correctness. And every aspect of political correctness, it happens to be the antithesis of what Yahweh in his Torah says is correct. And so what they're really warring against is all the things that God is opposed to. There's a whole long list of behaviors in the Torah that God says, you know, these things are really repulsive. You know, I don't want you to have sex with animals. I don't want you to have sex with your children. You know, I don't want you to have sex with men and men. I mean, come on, have some decency in your behavior. Make the act of lovemaking a loving concept. And, you know, pedophilia, like rape, is nothing but a control mechanism. It's people trying to control others. It's the motivation for pedophilia is the same motivation that exists for rape. That's why we saw it so prevalent in Islam's Muhammad. He coveted control, which is why he had a bevy of young children in his harem when he was 50 years old, and why he was so often depicted raping women.
Yeah, well, have people been dumbed down to that degree, or do they just feel like they're that much in control, or maybe it's a matter of both?
Yeah, I think it's a matter of both.
30 years ago, they could have never gotten away with that.
No, political correctness, it's one of the things that it strives to do is it makes the number one crime being judgmental. And the moment you stop exercising good judgment, you can no longer be civil, you can no longer be moral, you can't make good decisions. It renders all of the evidence in the world useless to you because you can't process it. And so that is how they manipulate people. Anyway, returning back to this economy thing, it's called the Marquette Composite Purchasing Managers Index, which is the measures both manufacturing and service sectors, primarily, however, manufacturing sectors. Germany declined from 53.3 in February on this index to 50.6. And you might say, that's not a big deal. That's actually a 6% decline in 1 month. Now, 6% decline in 1 month. Any figure above 50 indicates growth. Now, compare that to France. France's reading fell to 41.9. That means that France's manufacturing base declined to the point where it is shrinking at about 10% compounded monthly. For the Eurozone as a whole, the index fell to 46.5, which means that the Eurozone as a whole, its ability to manufacture goods is declining. And it fell from 47.9 the previous month, so it declined 3%. 1 month. Chris Williamson, chief economist at Marquette, who runs this data source, said that the data painted an extremely gloomy picture. He says the Eurozone recession is deepening once again as businesses report that they have become increasingly worried about the region's debt crisis and political instability. What happens when someone does what they did in Cyprus and they steal savings and checking accounts and they freeze them?
Business says,
I ain't gonna play there. What happens when the countries like France say that we're going to tax the most successful participants in our economy, stealing 70% of what they make? Progress stops. Progress stops. What happens when governments deficit finance and therefore control most access to funding? Business can't fund itself. Why would any business say, what I really want to do here is I want to risk my capital in a system where the government controls every move you make, makes it almost impossible to succeed, and then when you if you do succeed, they take half of what you made?
Well, nobody would do it, and it's also not a risk. It's a fact. That would be like saying, I'm just going to give it to you. I'm just going to give this to you.
Yeah, sure. It's the whole story of Atlas Shrugged, which would be a very, very good read for all of our listeners, where you put businesses and those who are productive in a position where they say, I'm not in support of what you're doing with my money, and you're just stealing it from me, so there is no reason whatsoever that I should work and produce it.
Right. Isn't that what ends up happening? In all situations like that, isn't that what happens?
Exactly.
As theft goes on with government, production goes down, and eventually it becomes...
Yeah.
There reaches a point where people say, well, enough's enough. There's no point in trying to be productive because no matter if I work or if I don't, I get the same result.
Look at the United States. The United States had the option, the most clear and blatant option probably in the last 100 years. You had a guy who has successfully built and managed businesses running against a guy who had never even worked for a business. And this nation, stupidly, voted in favor of the guy who has never even drawn a paycheck from a business, much less managed one, over the guy who had tremendous success building and managing businesses. Now, I'm anti-political, but if you ever wanted a clear choice on the single most important issue in America today, you had one, and the country blew it. A huge drop, this is another story, in French business activity meant that the Eurozone's recession dragged on in March, but British service firms provided a rare glimpse of economic sunshine, posting their best month since August. Okay, so you've got one segment of the British economy that had a slight uptick when the rest of the British economy had a significant downturn.
Yeah.
But Reuters is particularly good at misrepresenting the facts and taking things out of context. Business surveys on Thursday showed the decline in France and French service businesses. By the way, that's basically what France has going for it now. It's service businesses. That's what America does. You know, America's manufacturing capability now is about 10% of GDP is manufacturing, and the vast preponderance of that is either military equipments are the one thing that we do make in this country, which is commercial airplanes. But in fact, last month they were talking about the change in the economy for America as a whole, and if you for the quarter, and if you took everything into account, there was a 3% uptick. Now, the 3% uptick is, of course, offset by the fact that the underlying inflation rate is probably 5%. But when they say if you take one company out of that, Boeing, then America was flat. There was no increase. That's how centric we are and how few...
What does that tell you about...
How narrow our base is, how vulnerable we are.
You know, when being connected to the club. I mean, really. I mean, that's it. The club runs it all, don't they?
Absolutely. The huge drop in French business activity, of course, meant the Eurozone's recession was going on. Tuesday, it showed the decline in French businesses is now at its steepest since the nadir of the 2008-2009 recession, outstripping even the downturns in Spain and Italy. So France right now is sinking faster than Spain and Italy. What did France do that is unique amongst the European countries? There's one thing that happened in France that is different than what happened in these other countries. Holliday. What is Holliday? A communist. What did Holliday decide? He decided that we would no longer allow business to build the economy. We would instead confiscate the monies that businesses are making. We're going to impose a 70% tax rate. And then, on top of that, we're going to run the economy as wealth redistribution. Going to take from those who we can steal from, and we're going to give to those who will become dependent upon us.
And incidentally, when they give to those who would become dependent, for every dollar they take, it's some pennies that gets to the poor downtrodden, because he's just used as a poster child to advance the concept of theft.
You want him dependent. If the downtrodden were actually lifted up and were no longer dependent, every one of these politicians would be out of a job, and we wouldn't need government, would we? We'll return to Shattering Myths and conclude our story on the economic collapse of Europe. Welcome back to the final news segment of Shattering Myths. We're here with Larry. Larry, there's something interesting here about the issues with France. Now, France, this is both services and businesses sectors have declined at rates that are alarming, and they're outstripping the downturns in Spain and Italy. You know, in Spain, now the unemployment rate's up there in the range of about 15 to 20%. Somewhat similar in Italy. Now, they don't have huge unemployment in France, although the economy in France is shrinking faster than the devastating effects that we're witnessing in Spain and Italy. What this is actually telling us, if you want to see how seriously flawed the system is that in France, because of the unions and because of the support of unions in the government, businesses can't fire, they can't even lay off workers. And workers can work half a day and earn a full day's wage. The restrictions on businesses or what they can do with their own employees is so egregious that now what you have is businesses burdened with unproductive employees in an economy where they don't need those employees, and yet they are having to still pay for them. Now, what's going to happen with that kind of... That's the only thing you can do.
Business.
All you can do. All you can do. You know, we had fun with the
kitchen.
Right. We had the fun thing with the with when Hostess Twinkies and Ho Ho's and all that went belly up, and there'd be no more Ho Ho's, no more Ding Dongs, no more Hostess cupcakes. Well, you know why Hostess went out of business? Hostess for years was trying to negotiate an equitable wage with its union, and finally Hostess said, you're being so obnoxious, you're so uncooperative, you're so unproductive, that we just give up. You win. We're going to file bankruptcy. See you later. We're going to shut down the company because of the union influence. You look at America's automakers. They're in the same boat that France is in the country. The UAW bankrupt Chrysler and General Motors. And then our government, in cahoots with the unions, because that's how they get votes, decided to give General Motors to the United Auto Workers, the very people who destroyed it. They ruined it. And America didn't even scream bloody murder.
And then paid to move the bulk of the organization or the operation over to China.
Yeah, now here's an interesting story.
So what did union members get out of it? What did American union members get out of it? They got Detroit.
Yeah, they got Detroit. And guess what? Detroit's bankrupt.
Oh, well, Detroit's, they're talking about plowing a third
Detroit's literally in receivership. Detroit is no longer an incorporated city. Detroit is in receivership and is now controlled and owned by the state of Michigan.
Right. Call the police and they don't even show up. Oh, yeah. I mean, this is what happens.
Now, here's this follow-up story on France's collapse. It says, but the accumulation of dismal data, could prompt a more dovish tone from the European Central Bank President Mario Draghi, who in January, just now a couple of months ago, identified positive contagion. Contagion, this dirty word here that, you know, they say that what happens in Greece is going to spread to Italy. What happens in Italy is going to spread to France.
It's the old
United States, we sacrificed 60,000 of our young boys to go fight a war in Vietnam because of the domino theory. Yeah, well, the domino theory in politics and the contagion theory in global economics, the same basic theory. But he's now said that rather than spreading a negative contagion, that he identified that he, as the head of the ECB, had now infiltrated the economy with a positive contagion, sweeping through the financial markets as a result of his policies, end quote. Well, quote now, the positive contagion we're seeing in financial markets is not feeding through to real economic activity. In other words,
it sounds like God's spell of gratia to me.
Oh man, it's not feeding through to real economic activity. It's all smoke and mirrors. That's what fiat money is. Reuters, just another story on the economy. The Bank of England decided not to pump French money into its stagnant economy on Thursday, despite a new remit that gives it more leeway to disregard above-target inflation. Further stimulus may still be on the way, however, after Finance Minister George Osborne tweaked the central bank's mandate 2 weeks ago. Tweaked its mandate. In other words, we want to play and manipulate the economy and people in a whole new venue. And he says it gave the bank stronger backing to ignore the series of one-off factors that have kept inflation above target for most of the time since the financial crisis. They want inflation. They're actually striving for inflation. Think of that. It's the ultimate taxation mechanism.
It's time for a home security quiz. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away?